Akwaba, Akabo, Jambo, and hello, Bankless Africa.
It's the end of another week, which means it's time for Sats and Gray, where we bring you weekly updates and recaps of some of the most significant crypto and Web3 headlines about the African continent and sometimes from across the globe. I, of course, am Miss Purple.
And I am Nike.
Your favorite decentralized reporters from Africa.
First off, we'd like to welcome all of you to a new season of The Bankless Style. And this marks the 46th episode of Sats and Gray. I just want to say it's been a real pleasure having to bring all these episodes to you over the past many months. And still looking forward to bringing you even more juicy episodes about the crypto space in Africa and around the world. We're kicking off today with the markets. As of today, the 20th of May, 2023, Bitcoin has remained relatively stable over the course of the past week, currently sitting at its $26,000 mark at $26,895.63. Ethereum has remained relatively unchanged and still holds its $1,800 mark, currently sitting at $8,814.17. The Optimism token also remained relatively unchanged, still sitting at its $1.6 mark with a current value today of $1.67. The Matches token by Polygon currently holds a value of $0.8705, a slightly different value from what it was last week at $0.8267. And the Bank token has remained relatively unchanged, still sitting at its $0.004 mark.
And like Nick, you already mentioned, welcome to a new season, Bankless. It's an honor to still be here with you on episode 46 of Sats and Gray, which also means that it has been quite a long time. It's been almost a year of Sats and Gray, which is pretty exciting. Starting off with our national currencies, the Ghanaian cedi is currently at 10.80 cedi to the dollar, up by 8.08% from last week's 11.75 cedi to the dollar. The Nigerian naira is at 461 naira to the dollar, up by 0.32% from last week's 462.50 naira to the dollar. The Lesotho Luti and South African Rand are still not doing too phenomenally, sitting at 19.45 Lutean Rand to the dollar, down by 0.05% from last week's 19.44 Rand and Luti to the dollar, which we're almost at 20, and it gives me panic attacks every time when I think about it, because just yesterday we were at 12, but that's a story for another day. The Kenyan shilling is at 137.65 shillings to the dollar, down by 0.47% from last week's 137 shillings to the dollar. The Central African CFA franc is at 606.05 franc to the dollar, down by 0.67% from last week's 602 franc to the dollar. Now, you may have noticed that I did not say that that was the last one, because it is not. For the sake of today's episode, we are also going to look at the Zimbabwe dollar, which is currently, or rather it was on at 1,496.96 Zim dollars to the dollar from 1,170 Zim dollars to the US dollar on the previous closing. You'll understand why in a bit, but for now, we're going to move over to some of the headlines that we found to be particularly interesting from last week's episode of Sats and Gray. The first one for me is the fact that a Frenchman was jailed and fined 3.7 million US dollars for buying a Ferrari with Bitcoin in Morocco. If you want to understand exactly what happened and why I thought this was of particular interest, be sure to listen to last week's episode of Sats and Gray.
Yeah, to be honest, I really did think that that was very funny and very hilarious. It made me laugh a couple of times, because imagine being jailed for spending your own money. Well, on my end, I think the headline that piqued my interest was the one about Paxful resuming its operations after regulatory and internal issues had previously halted its operations. And this was followed by, well, the resignation of its co-founder and former CEO, Ray Youssef. Now, till now, Paxful has really not offered an official statement as to why they ceased operations, but we know they are back on the market. I would still expect that for the sake of integrity, they should be very open to letting people know what made them cease operations for a while, or why they went on a break, or why they closed. I feel like they owe that to the general public and to their customers, you know, the people that use their platform. And that brings us to a wrap-up of our headlines from last week. We're moving on to this week, our first headline, where in conjunction with the IMF, the Digital Currency Monetary Authority, DCMA, has launched an international central bank digital currency, CBDC.
On the 10th of April 2023, at the International Monetary Fund, that is the IMF's spring meetings of 2023, the Digital Currency Monetary Authority, that is the DCMA, announced the official launch of an international central bank digital currency, that is a CBDC. This CBDC is known as the Universal Monetary Unit, or UMU, as in UMU for short, symbolized by an ANSI character U, as in the U with the two little dots on top. It is a legal money commodity. It can transact in any legal tender settlement and functions like a CBDC to enforce banking regulations and protect the international banking system's financial integrity. It was introduced as Crypto 2.0 by the DCMA because it innovates on the wave of cryptographic tech by realizing a digital currency public monetary system with a widespread adoption framework. The aim with this currency is to improve cross-border payments, strengthen the international monetary system, support central banking and regulated financial institutions. It operates within the regulations of participating jurisdictions and offers features such as a real-time settlement and the ability to transact with different national legal tender currencies. George Walker, a partner at Practice LLP, which specializes in international law, facilitated meetings between the DCMA and the IMF. He states, and I quote, "Although the IMF has not officially endorsed Universal Monetary Unit, in reviewing the DCMA's white paper and in weekly team discussions, the IMF has yet to state any objections to UMU's FX premium rates and its monetary sovereignty approach," end quote. In an opinion piece, Isaiah McCall presents a potentially bleak future where, because the UMU can be tied to your digital identity, and although life could be easier and more automated, it could be something akin to digital slavery. He mentions that, yes, for countless refugees forced from their homes and lands without identification, a digital ID could mean nothing less than life-saving relief, giving them something they never thought they could get back, an accepted sense of self-worth amid chaos and despair. At the same time, it will also give the government access to every service you use and every dollar you spend. In other words, freedom as a service, which is a whole other conversation. I don't think this one needs any extrapolating. All I can say is that we will include the links to this in our show notes, so be sure to read up on it. Go down a rabbit hole if you need to, read up on the white paper to figure it out, because this is what a lot of us have been, you know, kind of seeing from a distance. And I do wonder what this could mean for crypto adoption as a whole, but also the propaganda that is bound to come with all of that. So be sure you dot your T's, rather cross your T's and dot your I's, and I guess in this case, dot your U's as well, to fully understand what exactly is going on with the Universal Monetary Unit before it becomes a mainstream, if it ever does. Moving on to our next headline for this week, which is the reason why we touched on the Zimbabwean dollar rate to the US dollar, is that the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe has backed its digital tokens with over 200 kilograms of gold.
Well, moving back to the gold standard looks like something nice to hear. Now, Zimbabwe's digital currency, backed by gold, was launched to the public on the 8th of May 2023 in a move to stabilize the ever-tumbling Zimbabwean dollar. Over the past year, the Zim dollar has continued to decline significantly, with one US dollar now worth over a whopping 100,000 Zimbabwean dollars compared to 150 Zim dollars a year ago. Now, officials of the Reserve Bank expect the gold tokens will be acquired by those currently holding small dollar amounts. This is expected to be an alternative for them to store value and hedge against the volatility of the foreign exchange market. The official press release stated that the issuance of the digital token will be in two phases. Phase one was to be the issuance for investment purposes with a 180-day vesting period, redeemable in the same way as the existing physical gold coins. Holders of these physical coins will be able to exchange them through the banking system into the gold-backed digital tokens, while phase two was to be held in either e-gold wallets or e-gold cards, which are accounts created by the banks, which will be tradable and capable of facilitating peer-to-peer and peer-to-business transactions, making it both a store of value and a means of payment. In their other documents, it appears that thus far, 211.21 kg worth of gold has been purchased in the form of digital tokens across 241 bids, five of which were US dollar bids. And with the price of gold per milligram averaging 106.735 in Zim dollars and 0.06775 in US dollars, this put the net to 22,140,474,451.2 Zim dollars and 2,910 US dollars. Now, if you recall, we mentioned earlier that as per last close of the market, the Zimbabwean dollar sits at 1,496.96 to the US dollars, bringing the gross total spent on purchasing these gold-backed digital tokens thus far at 14,790,291.30. That is the US dollars. Now, all this information is readily available on the Zimbabwean Reserve Bank publication site. And if you want, you can find that and the official press statements, which will be linked in the show notes. Well, first of all, I don't think I've really done any deep research into the cause of their rapidly falling currency, because this seems like a very huge drop in value. Like it's very, very, how do I say it? It's very out of place that the currency should be this weak. I mean, it's not something that I personally thought could be possible for a currency, but apparently this is happening in Zimbabwe. And I feel like it's good that they are trying to take, proactive steps to try and fix this. Maybe not proactive, but at least they are trying to take remedial steps to try and fix this. And I feel like for them, moving back to the gold standard may actually help to bolster the value of their currencies. And I like the fact that they are trying to do this through gold-backed digital tokens. I mean, this sort of means that blockchain technology is going to play a vital role in potentially helping to revitalize their currency. And I do hope for positive results, because I mean, stuff like this would imply that the country is currently experiencing a high level of inflation. So I'm only wondering how hard it must be for the residents to cope, you know, in terms of buying or selling or spending. And I know it definitely puts a lot of pressure on the government and a lot of pressure on consumers. But then again, there's really no situation, especially economically, that cannot be remedied. I mean, taking the right steps would eventually work it all out. And I'm really hoping that this works out for them, because if this experiment actually does work out, then it could provide a template that many other African countries could follow to, you know, bolster the value of their local currencies as against the US dollar or any other dominant international currency. Now, moving on to the next headline. Cardano's innovative DeFi platform rescues real lives, solving Africa's housing crisis.
Africa has been plunged into a real estate crisis, with the median price of housing going way up in recent times. At this rate, the term affordable housing may soon become a thing of the past, because it is in fact not affordable. The home market is now unfortunately characterized by exorbitant lending rates by lenders. Through a recent Twitter post, the cryptocurrency company Coinbase shed light on the creative initiatives made by the Cardano-powered decentralized finance, that is DeFi platform Empower, which intends to successfully address the challenge of housing affordability in Africa. By 2030, Empower hopes to help 1 million African families acquire climate-smart homes, and this is an enormous objective. However, the business is committed to further upending Africa's real estate industry, which is currently characterized by exorbitant borrowing rates, by leveraging on the power of blockchain technology. I think this one is particularly interesting, more so because it seems to be a common thread here that I am seeing this past week, based off of the research that I had been doing, which is that property in crypto have this, you know, this inherent relationship, and the minute that one is able to see that connection and then perhaps apply certain practices and certain habits that one can get from working with and, you know, experiencing crypto itself, you can then move it towards property and property rights and all of that other stuff. I really do hope Empower manages to help 1 million African families get homes, climate smart homes too, you know, in as much as I think that the climate battle should not be just ours alone and that we're doing all the extra hard work, while it was not entirely our issue, we were not one of the biggest culprits in terms of creating a climate, bringing it to what it is today. I think this could be phenomenal in many, many ways. There's so many people who are in desperate need of having a home that is sane and clean enough for them to live in and actually build a life and a family for them to raise in there and raise hopefully future generations as well. Moving on to our next update for this week, Nigerian crypto infrastructure startup Yuki partners with Nigerian neobank Aladdin Digital Bank to mainstream digital assets in Africa.
Launched in November 2022 by Nigerian investtech and robo-advisory startup Comiblock, Yuki gives African fintechs and neobanks APIs that make it much easier for them to create and offer unique crypto payment solutions, such as building remittance services, stablecoin payment platforms, etc. In a period of a week instead of months, no writing of code is required. Aladdin's digital community of over 75,000 Nigerian users, this includes merchants, will through this partnership be able to access digital assets as well as participate in the crypto ecosystem. Aladdin can seamlessly integrate self-custodial crypto services within their app by leveraging Yuki's API. This has transformed Aladdin from a digital bank to a full-scale financial product where users can borrow, save, invest, make payments, get cards, do insurance, buy and sell products and services while also interacting with other users. This effectively makes it a P2P platform, in my opinion, anyway. Yuki CEO Dennis Merry says, and I quote, "African fintechs have already shown us what they can do when it comes to taking banking user experience to the next level. Now, with digital assets, they have the potential to achieve even more. I started Yuki to provide them with compliant tools and infrastructure to transform digital assets UX in Africa also. I deeply believe that crypto in Africa can't succeed without the incumbent fintechs adopting it," end quote. So again, this is another classic case of innovation. And not just innovation that considers the product that they're trying to ship from the viewpoint of the end user. I mean, obviously it feels like the Aladdin community is definitely large, about 75,000 Nigerian users. And that is a lot of people to reach. I mean, one user potentially could have a ton of assets on the blockchain, which they could be using to, you know, trade, do lending services, or doing P2P transactions and all that. And I'm particularly interested in the way that Aladdin has been able to transform itself from just a community of crypto people and merchants to a full-scale financial product that allows people to borrow and save and invest. I mean, there's a lot of things you can do on the platform. It seems like something really powerful. It seems like something, if you wanted to, you should check it out, because definitely looks like a platform that has everything that the average crypto degen would be looking for. And I'm particularly interested in the way that, you know, the CEO, Dennis Merry, is steering the company, the direction in which they are going, they seem to be a very user-focused company. And I think in business or in app development in general, you always have to have the opinions of the end user in mind. You always have to put yourself in the shoes of the end user. You always have to make sure that whatever product you are shipping, whatever services you are trying to deliver, as the end user, would you like them? And if you do, then you're good to go. And I think that this platform definitely has a lot of potential to survive now and in the coming years. And I'm really looking forward to seeing them do exploits. Moving on to the next headline. Algorand GameFi platform, Zone, has reportedly hit 10.6 million player minutes a month after its global launch.
Zone, a blockchain GameFi platform, has experienced significant growth since its global launch 9 months ago and the launch in Kenya in March 2023. It has reportedly reached 10.6 million player minutes and witnessed 30 million games being played on its platform, making it one of the fastest growing platforms in Africa, Europe, Asia, and South America. Built on the Algorand blockchain, Zone combines gaming and finance elements, allowing players to essentially play to earn crypto rewards for their in-game wins. Users can earn over 65,000 Kenyan shillings, that is $500 a month, by playing the AAA games, Zone Fantasy, and Zone Games. The platform offers instant reward payouts with minimal transaction fees and ensuring trust and transparency. Zone plans to introduce new games, including Ludo, Chess, Solitaire, and more in the second quarter of 2023. And currently, some of its most popular games include Escape Run, which is very similar to Temple Run, Candy Fiesta, similar to Candy Crush, Merge Mania, similar to, I believe, Merge Mania, Fantasy Cricket and Football, as well as Hoopstar. I personally think it is quite interesting that GameFi is coming in a way that I think a lot of people perhaps did not expect. I think many people expected it would be a directly just crypto-facing game that is created from jump to finish, you know, with the whole NFT situation. But I think we're seeing that you need to go straight to the gamers. You need to create a game first that is enjoyable. And then if it's great, then you can add on other layers such as, you know, being able to actually play to earn as well versus creating a horrible game and you expect people to sit through it just for the sake of being able to earn. So I have not tried it myself, but I plan to do so. I believe that outside of Kenya, Zone is currently available in other African nations. I'm just not exactly sure where. I will do some research and maybe I'll play a game or two and I'll let you know next week what I personally think of that one. Moving on to our next headline, the blockchain-based lender of small businesses in emerging markets, Jia, has raised $4.3 million in seed funding.
Well, for one, I'm going to say that $4.3 million in seed funding is a hefty sum, and it definitely goes a long way to show how much faith investors have in Jia. Now, a $4.3 million funding round has just been completed by Jia, a blockchain based finance company that offers loans to micro and small enterprises in emerging nations. Another $1 million has been committed for on-chain liquidity in a round that was led by early stage investor TCG Crypto and included funds from Block Tower, Hashed Emergent, Season Capital, and Global Coin Research. The firm uses decentralized financing to provide loans to borrowers in exchange for repayment. Borrowers earn tokens that may be redeemed at a predetermined rate based on Jia's profitability in the future. Now, Jia fills the gap now left by online lenders and lending applications that don't offer credit of more than $1,000 by offering loans of up to $5,000 to small enterprises. According to Zach Marks, a co-founder and CEO of Jia, and I quote, "The concept is to offer micro businesses affordable financing, and when they repay, they become owners by receiving token rewards." Very interesting. Now, we have done an episode previously with Jia co-founder and CEO Zach Marks, and if you haven't listened to it already, we'll leave a link to listen in the show notes for you to understand Jia's mission for emerging markets. I mean, this is a really fantastic initiative by Jia. I feel like one of Africa's problems, especially for entrepreneurs or builders or innovators, is access to credit. And I feel like, for instance, for someone who has a pretty large idea, something they really want to achieve, you know, $1,000 is good, but it might not go all the way. And then again, Jia is offering to ramp this up to at least $5,000 in credit. They're saying they can give up to $5,000 in credit, depending on the project you have in mind, how you're able to pitch it to them. Now, again, that might not seem like the most, but it's definitely a whole lot better than $1,000. And I feel like we need more of these solutions. We need more innovators and more entrepreneurs to have access to the credit they need to build, because what they're building is a solution that will make the continent better and the world better. And if they're working in that direction, I feel like they should be helped. They should be assisted in some way to make the dream of a better world come true. I'm moving on to a next headline. The IMF reflects on the first year of the e-Naira, states that it still has potential in financial inclusion.
The adoption rate of the Nigerian Central Bank's CBDC, the e-Naira, has been almost negligible since its initial launch. This is according to a recent study by the IMF, which shows that less than 1% of the population currently uses e-Naira. After the Bahamian sand dollar, the e-Naira debuted in October 2021 as the second CBDC in the globe. The IMF stated in the document that more people have yet to adopt the e-Naira beyond its first adopters. So essentially, all the people who are on there now are the people who've been on there from the beginning, which means there's no new people, it's just the same people. The paper further observed that only 802,000 transactions were totaled over the time period under consideration, which is less than 1% of bank accounts in the nation. Or rather, less than 1% of bank accounts in the nation have wallets. Hence, the results indicate that it's less than one per wallet. The CBN hopes that the e-Naira will eventually take precedence over the services provided by mobile money operators. I don't see that happening. However, the IMF paper indicated that this may be hard to accomplish. The IMF claims that the e-Naira cannot support remittances directly, but they also noted that this might be resolved by allowing foreign money transfer companies to utilize e-Naira wallets. The reason I think that this may not be able to take over mobile money operators is because, number one, it took really long for mobile money to become a thing of life, I think, across the continent. Perhaps not so much for Nigeria and Kenya. I know they were a bit quicker on that than a lot of other people, but I think it takes a lot to try to educate people on that. And of course, from what I've heard, both from Nikki and from other people, the e-Naira is just not doing what it's supposed to be doing. It's not giving what it's supposed to give. So if it's not giving what it's supposed to give in the first place, I don't see you being able to get on more people, because nobody would want to be involved in something that is not doing what it's supposed to do. So from an outsider perspective, I think perhaps a lot more needs to be done to make the e-Naira work for the people who are on it currently. For that 1% of the people who use e-Naira, make it work properly, you know, make it do what it should be doing. Only then can you then worry about trying to get more people on, because if you cannot serve the current client base that you have, I don't see you being able to serve an entire nation. Or, you know, of course, perhaps I could be wrong. I am neither Nigerian. I've never been to Nigeria, and I am not an economist or an expert. But from a personal opinion standpoint, I think perhaps it still needs a lot more work before it can be streamlined to the rest of the public, or rather expect for it to be adopted by the entire population when you're only sitting with 1%. Moving on to our next headline, and the last one actually for this week. According to the CVVC African Blockchain Funding Report, in 2022, African blockchain businesses raised a total of $474 million, which was a 429% increase from what was raised in 2021.
That is a lot of money being raised, a whole lot. Now, according to the most recent African Blockchain Funding Report, $474 million was raised by blockchain startups in Africa in 2022, representing a 429% increase over the amount raised in the previous year. More than 80% of the total was split between South Africa and Seychelles, with respective percentages of 37.3% and 43.9%. Only 3.4% of total funding went to Nigeria, which had 9 deals worth a combined total of nearly $16 million and had the second highest share in 2021. Now, according to the study, custody and exchanges received more funding than any other category, with a $250 million total raise. FinTech came in second with 23.4% of the total, followed by infrastructure and development with 14.3% of the total funds, and NFT, gaming, and metaverse with 7% of the total. Again, $474 million is a lot of money. And given the fact that that was a year-on-year increase of 429%, it would mean that definitely whatever was raised in 2021, whatever the total raised in 2022 was at least four times that. And that is representative or indicative of a lot of optimism of international investors or investors in general in the promise of African innovation on the blockchain. Because we all know that in recent months, or at least in the past year or more, the blockchain space has seen a lot of downhill events, and it should, all those should be more than enough to discourage people from, you know, wanting to dip their toes in deep waters. But apparently that's not the case for Africa. We still see people pumping in money. It's like they're seeing something like a hidden treasure that, well, maybe a lot of us are not seeing yet. But I am optimistic that all of this faith in the African crypto community will not go to waste. I am optimistic that we will indeed be able to make the most out of the funds we have received, and also rooting for, you know, even more innovators to come up, take the stage, and be great.
Yes, indeed, because there is no other time to be great than right now. So I think that is a perfect note for us to end this episode for the week. But just to remind you all that the CVVC African Blockchain Funding Report, the IMF paper, the previous GEAR episode that we did with Zach Marks a while ago, all of the articles, the Zimbabwean Reserve Bank press statement, all their other documents, as well as any other opinion pieces that we may have referenced for this particular episode, they will all be linked in our show notes. So be sure to head on over there to do your own research and fully understand. And once again, if there are any particular news that you would like us to dive into, perhaps do some research around and come back to you with a report, we would gladly do so. You can always reach out to us on our Twitter. And of course, just a reminder, a disclaimer, that none of what we share here is financial advice, only the opinions of the individuals that make this show possible. Like I mentioned, always, always, always do your own research above all else. I would rather you believe yourself than believe me. If you haven't already, I'm going to ask that please could you share or leave a rating or even just subscribe to the podcast. It helps us to continue doing what we do here at Bankless Africa and Satsangwe. We do hope that this is a phenomenal season, both for us and for you and for every single person who supports Bankless in our mission. So until next time, remember to be relentless in your mission to be bankless.